So somewhere in Wisconsin is a lot of valuable stuff to a 9-year-old. Anyway, modern treasure hunters use sophisticated equipment. They might have metal detectors. You've seen those people at the beach, right? You know, it's a sunny day. It's gorgeous weather. What are they doing? They're looking for something in the beach. And people now are using sonar to scan the ocean floor to find sunken vessels and treasure and so on and so forth. But if we were honest, most of us, the only treasure we will ever have will not consist of Spanish doubloons or caches of rubies, okay? That's not going to be our treasure. So instead, we need to ask ourselves a far less exciting but far more important question, and that is, what do I really treasure? Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. In the ancient world, currency and banking were not as widespread or reliable as they are today. So people tended to accumulate wealth in different ways. Many invested in fine or elaborate clothes. When Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, wished to make some profit out of an officer that Elisha had helped, he asked the officer for 2 festal gowns. And he didn't do that because he was going to a party and needed something to wear. He did it because he knew that that would be of great financial value. But such things were foolish to set the heart upon, because you put them away in storage and the moths got to them, and all their beauty and their value would be destroyed. Now, the word rust in this passage is not limited to the oxidation of iron. The literal meaning of the word is an eating away, an eating away. And that could sort of graphically describe what rust does to iron, but it can also refer to any consumable item. Many people who had accumulated wealth in Jesus' day would store up corn or grain in large bins or barns. But the thing is, no matter where you put the bin or the barn, those darn mice tend to find the corn. They tend to find the grain. And they can soon destroy your wealth. Many people kept what money they had in a hole in the wall in their homes. Okay? But here's the thing. Homes back then, the walls were little more than baked clay. And more than once, a burglar was able to steal from the people by digging in from outside the house. See? So these then were the 3 most common ways of accumulating wealth: fine clothing, grain storage, and a secret hole in the wall. Perhaps this helps us to better appreciate the words of Jesus. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust can destroy, where thieves literally break in and steal. This passage is not saying that it is sinful to have money or to have such things as life insurance or retirement plans or savings accounts. Nor is material gain in and of itself wrong. We can even agree with the late great heavyweight champion Joe Louis, when asked about money, said, "I don't like it much, but it does calm my nerves." Nevertheless, earthly treasures can consume us if we let them. Jesus is telling us that we are not to set our hearts and hopes on that which does not last. I ran across this statistic the other day. There is 2.3 billion, B as in boy, billion square feet of rental storage units in the United States. It's unbelievable. We have so much stuff, it doesn't fit in our homes anymore. We got to have these storage units to put in our stuff. But our treasure is not found in our stuff. And by the way, this series, Faith and Treasure, is not an indictment on storage units, all right? We're not condemning that, okay? Because I remember as we were getting ready to move, we rented a storage unit in Rapid City and, you know, put our stuff there. And when it came time to move to Battle Creek, that we were able to then use that stuff, you know, the furniture and the tools and the whatever, all that stuff, and make use of it. So it's not wrong to have a storage unit, okay? But here's the thing that I learned, that what was in our storage unit was not our treasure. It was just stuff. Over the years, I've had the opportunity and the privilege to be with a number of individuals in their last days. Rarely in those moments do people talk about all the things they acquired on earth. You know, the kind of treasure that moth and rust can destroy and earth and thieves can break in and steal. People in their last moments seem to have a different perspective on treasure. So what do they talk about? Well, they talk about family, friends, moments with God, children they taught, trips they went on. They talk about vacations, about laughter. They share stories, both amusing and meaningful. They talk less about salaries and more about the promises shared with God and with others. This series we've begun today is about where you are investing your life. But there's no denying that this also includes money. And that's because Jesus talked about money. In fact, Jesus talked more about money than heaven and hell combined. He talked more about money than anything else except the kingdom of God. 11 of the 39 parables are about money. In the Gospel of Luke, one of every 7 verses is about money. So why do you suppose Jesus talked so much about money? Well, in the Sermon on the Mount, where our scripture passage was taken, Jesus is teaching about matters that affect the heart. He's looking at the heart. He cares about the hearts of God's people. Jesus talks about money because he knows that money affects our hearts. He knows money stresses our relationships. Money causes division in and among people. Money and its pursuit can be an all-consuming and burdensome effort. Those who have lost their jobs, those who have difficulty getting a hold of any money, will tell you that it's not just a financial issue. It's also an emotional and spiritual issue. Jesus talked about money because he cares about our hearts. He cares about our souls. We usually think that where our heart is, a treasure will follow. Jesus says it's the opposite. Where our treasure is, that's where our hearts will be also. And Jesus is not playing semantic games here. It's not just a matter of sentence structure. He really means it. Jesus knows that the place where we spend our money will become our treasure, whether we want it to or not. Financial commitments require time and energy. They pull our heart in a direction that perhaps neither God nor we ever intended. If you buy a house that requires a large percentage of your income, you have no choice but to spend time and energy and money to pay for it. And where you put your treasure, your heart will soon follow. Where is your treasure? You want to find your treasure? To find your treasure is really quite simple. Just ask, where are you spending your time, energy, and money right now? Answer that, and you'll know where your treasure is. And if that discovery displeases you, if your heart feels divided, and you want to do something to change that feeling, this is what you do. Then change where you spend your time, your energy, and your money. Billy Graham was once asked, when he was well into his retirement, if you could, would you go back and do anything differently? What do you suppose he would say? Well, this is what he actually said. Yes, I would. I'd spend more time at home with my family. I'd study more and preach less. I wouldn't have taken so many speaking engagements. Whenever I counsel someone who feels called to be an evangelist, I always urge them to guard their time and not feel like they have to do everything. Billy Graham. Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. All right, if you didn't have any debts, no debts, no financial commitments, where would you store up your treasure? Jesus tells us we have the opportunity to lay up treasure in heaven. When we are investing our lives in the things of God, then we find ourselves being more at one with God, a sense of unity with God. The phrase treasures in heaven was well known in Jesus' day. It refers to unselfish acts of kindness and generosity. In other words, what is selfishly hoarded is lost, and what is generously given away brings treasure in heaven. There's an old Spanish proverb. There are no pockets on a shroud. If we were to say that in modern English, we would say something like, you never see a U-Haul after a hearse. We cannot take our material goods with us. The only thing we can take out of this world is our true selves, our true character, our souls. So we need to be careful not to lose our hearts to this world and to the things of this world. Jesus put it this way, what does it profit them if they gain the whole world but lose or forfeit themselves? Eugene Peterson translates it this way, what good would it do to get everything you want and lose you, the real you? So let's invest in things that endure. Let's invest in things that have an impact for eternity, knowing that what we keep, we shall lose. And what we give away in Christ's name, we'll have it forever.